ज्ञानति मृदस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। मञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। थैंक यू वेरी मच एवरीवन। आई हैव had made notes and that's what took me some long time to find them. The reason is because it's Diwali today. There's a lot of things happening everywhere and guests coming and greetings and exchanging sweets, and that's one of the reasons. We can talk about that more later. But continuing with the verse, Canto 1, chapter 13, verse number 18, the translation. Mahatma Vidura knew all this, and therefore he addressed Dhritarashtra, saying, "My dear king, please get out of here immediately. Do not delay. Just see how fear has overtaken you." So, as we know, this is a continuation of the previous verses, and Vidura is instructing Dhritarashtra. So, I'll go on to read the purport first. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Cruel death cares for no one, be he Dhritarashtra or even Maharaj Yudhishthir. Therefore, spiritual instruction, as was given to old Dhritarashtra, was equally applicable to younger Maharaj Yudhishthir. As a matter of fact, everyone in the royal palace, including the king and his brothers and mother, was raptly attending the lectures. But it was known to Vidura that his instructions were especially meant for Dhritarashtra, who was too materialistic. The word Rajan is specially addressed to Dhritarashtra significantly. Dhritarashtra was the eldest son of his father, and therefore according to law he was to be installed on the throne of Hastinapur. But because he was blind from birth, he was disqualified from his rightful claim. But he could not forget bereavement, and his disappointment was somewhat compensated after the death of Pandu, his younger brother. His younger brother left behind him some minor children, and Dhritarashtra became the natural guardian of them. But at heart, he wanted to become the factual king and hand the kingdom over to his own sons, headed by Duryodhan. With all these imperial ambitions, Dhritarashtra wanted to become a king, and he contrived all sorts of intrigues in consultation with his brother-in-law, Shakuni. But everything failed by the will of the Lord, and at the last stage, even after losing everything, men and money, he wanted to remain as king, being the eldest uncle of Maharaj Yudhishthir. Maharaj Yudhishthir, as a matter of duty, maintained Dhritarashtra in royal honor, and Dhritarashtra was happily passing away his numbered days in the illusion of being a king or the royal uncle of King Yudhishthir. Vidura, as a saint and as duty-bound, affectionate youngest brother of Dhritarashtra, wanted to awaken Dhritarashtra from his slumber of disease and old age. Vidura therefore sarcastically addressed Dhritarashtra as the king, which he was actually not. Everyone is the servant of eternal time, and therefore no one can be king in this material world. King means the person who can order. The celebrated English king wanted to order time and tide, but the time and tide refused to obey his order. Therefore, one is a false king in the material world, and Dhritarashtra was particularly reminded of this false position and of the factual fearful happenings which had already approached him at that time. Vidura asked him to get out immediately. If he wanted to be saved from the fearful situation which was approaching him fast, he did not ask Maharaj Yudhishthir in this way, because he knew that a king like Maharaj Yudhishthir is aware of all the fearful situation of this flimsy world and would take care of himself in due course, even though Vidura might not be present at that time. So, with the blessings of Vaishnava, let me attempt to say some things in here. And just give me a moment, okay, please. Hold on, sir.
Mother Gandhari, are you there?
Yes, okay, sorry about that, Hare Krishna. Okay, I will continue. So, as I was saying, this chapter is about Vidura instructing Dhritarashtra about the eternal, the situation in this material world, birth, death, old age, and disease. But because he knows he's very approaching his death very quickly, in the sense that he's old, and we heard previously that he's coughing mucus, he could die any time, all these reasons. So then obviously, you know, he's sitting near the death, or death is near sitting near him. In another verse in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that actually the kala, or the time, is like a snake. It is sitting next to us, and we are continuing enjoying ourselves. So that is what kala is. It's a lot of important instructions here. One of them is that Vidura is very sarcastic to Dhritarashtra because he wants to act like a king and an uncle of a royal king, right? And Srila Prabhupada gives so much detail. This is amazing. Like, even if we don't read Mahabharata, we get the understanding, a real understanding, proper understanding from Srila Prabhupada's detailed purports in the descriptions. You know, we can actually make together all this. For years and years, I was trying very hard to go to Mahabharata, and I couldn't, really, because I just so love Srila Prabhupada's purport, and then I had to force myself, and luckily, we have Mahabharata recordings, so that was easy. And then once I heard those recordings, I couldn't stop them because they're so nicely done in explanation. So if anybody wants to quickly hear or understand or read some Mahabharata, the best way is listen to the cassettes. I don't know if just, I'm sure they must be available. And that would be easy, and they're very nicely done. And this gives us more detail. Actually, there is a Mataji, I forget her name, in Florida. She's very expert in all these stories and all the reasons behind why some person has given certain karma, and what's the reason for actions, and who is related to who. She's really expert. She's almost like a walking Mahabharata. So, I mean, whenever we get chance, we can try and get her to give classes. I forget her name. I'm so sorry. What's his name? Ramananda Prabhu knows that anyway. And we have heard many times. So, today I want to share one of the reasons why Dhritarashtra was blind, because many people wonder, right? He was a king, and he was a blind king in the previous, what happened in the previous life. So I read this story. I heard this from a devotee in ISKCON. So what happened was, one time he was going out hunting, and he got some birds, and it was a whole family of birds, and he put some fire to the birds, and what happened was all the 100 babies died. sorry about the noise. 100 babies died, and the mother became blind. And so obviously, Dhritarashtra was cursed because he actually asked Lord Krishna, what is this karma that he got 100 sons? So Krishna has said to him that because of your pious deeds, you got 100 sons. But because of your impious activity or the sinful activity, this is the karma that you got. So from this we can understand that even if we are, like we heard about pastime of Vidura, even if we mistreat plants, animals, insects, birds, bees, then we still get the reaction. It's not just that by hurting human beings, which even people are forgetting that. From last few classes, we are hearing about the atrocities that is happening to so many living entities. So, full stop. Living entities means everyone, including the plants. Very often, we have stories in Purana. There's a lot of stories in Purana. That's actually one of the very important one is that one should not cut a tree, actually, without reasons. And it's, of course, this is in one of the Purana. It is mentioned that it's more sinful to cut a big tree than kill a human, because a tree is giving support to millions and millions of living entities in the tree. So I personally read that. And usually there was another instructions about the tree. And we all know about how we have Lord Chaitanya's instructions about Tarnada Pisuni Chena, Taror Api Sahisuna, Amani Namana Dena, Kirtanya Sadahari. So one can only be able to chant the holy name in a humble state of mind, being as tolerant as the tree, we said, as humble as a braid of grass and as tolerant as the tree, like taror means tree. So we can see how trees are so tolerant despite all the abuses they get in their life from human beings and so many others. So one of the things that also was mentioned in the Puranas that on a birthday, that's how they celebrate birthday, is to plant five trees from the start of the fifth birthday and then multiply per year certain number of trees. And that's how you're supposed to celebrate your birthdays, really, in the Vedic way. And give charity, get blessings from the seniors and family members, friends, like that. Instead of blowing the candle, you light the candle and pass it on to others, in the sense of a candle means knowledge, light. So that's about the tree and history of Dhritarashtra being blind. And just like Vidura is acting as a king, as a guru. So he can sometimes use sarcasm as he's doing now. That really made me chuckle, actually, seeing how Prabhupada is bringing out all the in-depth understanding from the verse. You know, this is so much nectar when we read these purports, just by this one word, when he addresses the word king to Dhritarashtra, he's actually being sarcastic. How would we know? Because we're not actually hearing firsthand, but by Prabhupada's purpose, it's just like being there. We are actually hearing it firsthand with Prabhupada's descriptions. So he's being sarcastic to the king who is so attached, and King Dhritarashtra is posing as materialistic. Now, we know, if those people who are familiar with Mahabharata, so Shakuni has been imploring Dhritarashtra to act against his own nephews all his life. Now, Shakuni was... the reason for Shakuni for doing that is because Dhritarashtra's wife is his brother. So, you know, Dhritarashtra is brother-in-law. So as a brother, he wants to make sure that his sister gets the best of everything in her family home. So this is one of the Vedic reasons And of course, Sakuni is also evil at heart, envious, but he wants everything for best for his own nephews, you know, and that's why he's doing that. So, I'm not too sure, somebody can later on help us find out how Srila Prabhupada mentions about a king, English king, who wanted to order time and tide. I'm not familiar with that, although I've heard it, but I don't know which king he's referring to, so I'm sure somebody may know about that. And another point Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport is that Yudhisthira doesn't have to be implored, right, Dhritarashtra, because Vidura knows that King Yudhisthira is already in the full knowledge, and he wouldn't need people like Vidura to remind him. Even though it's mentioned that, you know, the instructions are there, everybody was attending the classes, Srila Prabhupada mentions lectures attentively with rapt attention, right? And then he mentions that King Yudhisthira doesn't need these instructions, but he was still there, and King Yudhisthira was respectfully taking care of his uncle, as being his duty, as himself being a gentle person, and king taking care of everybody's need, you know. So that's what he was doing. So just give me a moment here. So it's mentioned, of course, most of us are familiar that, you know, Dhritarashtra's envy is magnified, which we can relate to. And the reason is that we are all in this material world, and that's from the first envy, that we are envious towards Krishna. That's why we are in the material world. So none of us are free from this envy. And the only way the envy could be taken out from the root is through chanting the holy names of the Lord, which actually cleanses the heart of all anarthas. Just as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagnir Vapanam. So that's the only way, through the holy name. None of the other remedies would work, just even though there is a list of atonements in Puranas, in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. So none of this, the atonements are there for maybe for people to actually get them to at least become aware and to create some pious activities, to repent for their sins, to try to nullify and be aware. So that's what it is. But maybe it can balance out to some extent, but they cannot, atonement or all these other remedies cannot take out the root of the envy. So it does mention there in the sixth canto about that. So the main thing is only through chanting, one can, chanting the Lord's holy name can get us out of this Bhava Mahadavagni Svapanam, you know. And that way we can be established again in the eternal nature of Satchit Ananda. One can only come to the Ananda stage if his envy is cleared, subsided. There is no real ananda or bliss in the material world. It's all just like a show bottle. It's on the material or mental platform, and those materialistics, they don't actually experience real bliss. Real bliss comes at a soul level when one is connected with the super soul, and that could be experienced in association, in the chanting and the kirtan. So we are very fortunate these days, as by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, the kirtan and chanting is spreading very fast, luckily, as fast as also The Kali Yuga is approaching, and a lot more sinful activities being carried on. And just as yoga has been popular in the 60s, or meditation was popular in the 60s, and then yoga and Ayurveda, and now it's time for Kirtan Yoga, or Sankirtan, or Sangha. So this become a very popular words now. Sangha, Kirtan Mela, you know, chanting. So we are very lucky. So we should take advantage of that and wake up the sleeping souls. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Like that, just as Vidura has come to wake up Dhritarashtra. So we owe this to Srila Prabhupada. I mean, when we take initiation, how can we ever repay our Gurudev? The only way is we can attempt to continue his mission, carry on his mission, and this is like a small attempt to please our Gurudev. Just a small attempt, because we can never repay him back for the holy name that he has given us, for getting out of the cycle of birth and death. So, so that is the reason why we have to preach one way or the other. So it's not excuse, it's no, but, and also it's not that we have to personally go out and preach, but if we are connected with the movement or doing some surveys in a way of supporting those who are preaching, that is preaching itself. So a person who is doing pujari work, that is preaching. If he is connected with the parampara, so that is preaching. So we have to take the example of Vidura and continue the work of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and please Srila Prabhupada and our Gurudev by taking on this mission. I just want to share this with you right now. It is a song about the relationship in the material world, and everybody is familiar, but I thought I'd like to share this in the class today. Okay, it's just going to come up now.
Thank you.
So I hope you enjoyed that, and I'll just read the translation for people who don't know or haven't heard this, but it is still really good to understand the translation as well. So the first one is saying, O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the son of Nanda, which make one fearless. See, in the purport we heard about fearfulness. Having obtained the rare human birth, cross over this ocean of worldly existence through the association of saintly persons. Number two, both in the day and night, I remain sleepless, suffering the pains of the heat and cold, the wind and the rain. For a fraction of flickering happiness, I have uselessly served wicked and miserly men. Number three, what assurance of real happiness is there in all of one's wealth, youthfulness, sons, and family members? This life is tottering like a drop of water on a lotus petal. Kamala Dala Jala. Therefore, you should always serve and worship the divine feet of Lord Hari. Number four, it's the desire and great longing of Govindas to engage himself in the nine processes of bhakti, namely hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting those glories, constantly remembering him and offering prayers to him, serving the Lord's lotus feet, serving the Supreme Lord as a servant, worshipping him with flowers and incense and so forth, serving him as a friend and completely offering the Lord's one very self. So I think that bhajan is very relevant to this purport. But there's something, one word here is very significant that kind of come to my mind as well, or it caught my eyes, is the word is time. And I'm trying to find where that is about all this karma, suffering. All this is actually is carried on by the time, despite all the laws of karma, and the time factor is very prominent. In fact, you'll be happy to know that right now in UK they are showing the series. It's a very nice series done called Dwarkadish, and it's really very nicely done according to the book, Krishna book, and there's different pastimes. So we come to the episode where his pastime with Sudama and all the releasing of all the queen, of the princesses, it's happened, and then he married them. And then it's showing that Krishna was saying that it's about time that he has to get ready to go to Hastinapur. and there's going to be the big war. So the queens were asking him, why is there the need for the war? If there's people like Vidura to guide them, instruction, give them, why is the need? And that's when Krishna is mentioning that is actually the eternal time. So, and here, everyone is a servant of eternal time. Therefore, no one can be king in the material world. Kings means a person who can order. So this factor, time factor, is mentioned several times. And we cannot be above or released from the time factor. So it will do. Despite the karma, like I was saying, Dhritarashtra may be going through his karma of that. But there is one very important point to remember is that, Dhritarashtra, no matter what he is like, Lord Krishna was right there, and he's seen Krishna, he's in front of Krishna, he's seeing them in his association. And we know anybody is a moment's association. I mean, even with a pure devotee, what to speak of the Supreme Lord? So why won't his mentality change? So this also is the proof that all these devotees, all these people, they are actually coming on the earth to take pastime, be part of the pastime of the Supreme Lord accordingly. And everybody has their reasons, like that's the whole Mahabharata, is who is related to who and who is come here, why does he come, why this action and that action. So this will continue and it's eternal. And there is just like the Bhagavatam is eternal, so everything in relationship with to those devotees is also eternal, according to the pastimes of the Lord, wherever he goes. So these leelas are happening and different people are taking different parts in it. So we should not be angry or envious or despiteful to Dhritarashtra, because he's acting his part according to the Lord's leela. And this is the proof. We can see that despite Krishna, him being in presence of Lord Krishna, he was still very stubborn. And another proof is just like when we mentioned in a few classes before, somebody was asking that how can Vidura be so heavy on him? And why would he understand so quickly? Why did he leave so quickly just by listening to Vidura so quickly? The thing is, because they grew up in that culture, so they're already aware of their duties of, Kumaras, when they are young, they go to school, remain brahmachari, then grahastha duties, and then vanaprastha, and then just be prepared to leave the body. So they already know this. So that's why he would quickly give up the kingdom and listen to Vidura and finish off his business, as mentioned in the song, in today's song. So, and also Queen Kunti also mentions that just as Lord Krishna is also acting like a drama. So he's just like a player acting in a drama. So similarly, all these dear devotees that are very dear to Lord Krishna, even though they take different parts, but when they are acting out, they have to act out their part properly. So if he's acting as a villain, he's doing a great job of being a villain, like Duryodhan, perfectly performing that activity. So the whole idea is for us to learn from these instances and get an understanding of how to act while we are in this material world and to perform our duty properly, and what is our duty as a minute jiva, and how we can go back to Godhead, learning from these examples and from great devotees like Queen Kunti, Maharaj Yudhisthira, Vidura. And this is why, just as they were listening with rapt attention, if we follow what they are doing, hearing as you are all doing today, thank you very much, with rapt attention and understand the points and then start acting in our daily life, then we can be successful, like Dhritarashtra going back home, back to Godhead. So thank you very much, and we will open up for questions, and if there is any time, then we can a little bit more about Diwali. It so happens to be Diwali today. Happy Diwali, everybody. And thank you very much.
I've muted everybody on free conferencing, so if anybody would like to ask any questions or make any comments. I have two quick comments I can make.
Sure.
There's also an instance in the 10th canto in the Krishna book where Dhritarashtra also was sarcastically addressed when Akura went on behalf of Krishna to visit Dhritarashtra and see what the political situation was. After he had been there for some time, he addressed Vidura. I'm sorry, Vidura. Dhritarashtra. He addressed Dhritarashtra, and he addressed him as Vaichitravirya, which means the son of Vaichitravirya, when actually he was the son of Vyas. So he was sarcastically saying that because Dhritarashtra wanted to take the kingdom for his sons on hereditary grounds, but the Pandavas had every right to, even though they were not born directly of Pandu, they were born of the demigods. They had every right to inherit the kingdom as much as Dhritarashtra. So he sarcastically also addressed him in that way. I thought that was similar. And one other comment. You asked about time and tide. I put that up, and it's interesting, a little thing here. It says that, actually when it says time and tide, tide evidently referred to the passing of time, not so much of this, like the tide of the sea. And just like we have this sense of good tidings, good occasions. So if I could read this real quick. The meaning of time and tide, no one is so powerful that they can stop the march of time. The origin is uncertain, although it is clear that the phrase is ancient and it predates modern English. The earliest known is from a Saint Mather in 1225. And it's an old English, I won't read that. But anyway, here it says, the notion of tide being beyond man's control brings up images of King Canute story. I don't know who that is. Anyway, he demonstrated to his courtiers the limits of a king's power by failing to make the sea obey his command. That literal interpretation of tide in time and time is what is now usually understood, but wasn't what was meant in the original version of the expression. Tide didn't refer to the contemporary meaning of the word, the rising and falling of the sea, but to a period of time. When this phrase was coined, tide meant a season of time, or for a while. The word is still with us in the sense of good tiding, which refers to a good event or occasion, blah, blah, blah. So anyway,
thank you.
It's very interesting.
Thank you. Can I comment on the Vaichitravirya thing? You just mentioned that he was the son of Vyas. Everybody knows that, but actually because his mother wanted to carry on with the dynasty, so that is why they wanted to have some children, the boys actually, to continue. So that's why, obviously, he was known to be, or supposed to be known as the son of Vaichitravirya. See, even though physically he was the son of Vyas, but to continue with the dynasty, he was meant to be the son of this dynasty in that way. But of course, the sarcasm in that point, which you mentioned, is correct, but the sarcasm was that Vaichitravirya was known as the king. So Dhritarashtra would naturally, because he wants to be known as king, he was addressed sarcastically that, and he wasn't a king, so he was that's why he was called the son of Vaichitravirya in that way. I wonder if you can understand what I just explained. I'm not quite sure if you understand. Did you get it?
I'm sorry, take the while to unmute. Yeah, that's the point.
Okay. Because he's naturally...
Like as if he was the king when actually he didn't have any more rights.
Yeah, but it's usually, he won't be known as the son of Vyas. He would be known as the, continuous of the dynasty of this particular, dynasty with Pandu. I mean, their three brothers and their previous family members were Vichitravirya, like that. Because the whole idea behind that was somehow or other create the progeny. So that way he won't be known as son of Vyas. That's just to let you know. Okay, anyone else?
I have one other thing to say. Does anyone else want to make a comment? I just wanted to clarify a point. Maybe I just misunderstood. I understand how Krishna can utilize anybody for his own purposes. Even they act in their own way, but Krishna is so wonderful. His potencies are such that by Krishna's grace, things happen effectively of their own accord. But when you said that just like Dhritarashtra or Duryodhana were acting like demons, I believe, or demoniac or something like that, so they were just acting their part, I couldn't really follow because, you know, everybody has their free will. It's not that they were acting like demons, or at least, let's say, as far as Duryodhana goes, but he actually was. But Krishna can utilize us for his own purposes, if you want to comment on that.
Yeah, that was my point, actually. And also, just before Lord Krishna is coming to Earth, he's requesting everybody to come. Like, he's asking all the demigods to come on the Earth planet and take different parts in the Leela that's about to happen, right? And it's not one time that this is happening, right? Like Vidura, we know, he's Yamaraj himself. So it's about time. So if Vidura comes alone, where is Dhritarashtra? So then there is Dhritarashtra and Yudhishthira Maharaj, the Pandavas. And we all know the Pandavas are the sons of the demigods, different demigods, right? So in one sense, it is to support the Leela to teach us, for Lord Krishna to teach us through his devotees. So this is eternally happening, like Queen Kunti. Prayer is eternal, right? And so we may think in a small-mindedness, we may think, okay, Dhritarashtra was here 5,000 years ago, and then his son was Duryodhana. But we know the story of Duryodhana in a previous life. We know how these different demons come. And if we go through Puranas, which is quite intriguing, it's interesting also, you get to hear so much about, they all go back to the beginning of time, you know, in the beginning of time, in this millennia, this thing happened, and this person was this person, and then he had to take birth because of this particular reason, just like, not very long ago, we didn't know Narad Muni. About Narad Muni's past life. So he was a Gandharva, and what sinful activity he performed in assembly of Kirtan. He was, surrounded by young girls and focusing on himself, on his beauty. So he was cursed to take birth in a Sudra family, like that. And his mother was killed very quickly. So it's amazing from what state to what through his life, one life, how he progressed so quickly. So that's the point I was trying to make, that these are eternal. And of course, like you said, I agree that they may have certain qualities of their own. Then they would come and act out their part as or according to their natures. But by Krishna's presence, then they do get purified by his intervention as well.
Okay. So you're not saying, like, for instance, Arjuna. Arjuna follows Krishna wherever he goes, and he acts as his devotee in different parts. But you're not saying, like, somebody like Duryodhana, follows Krishna in his pastimes and acts like a demon, are you? That's what it sounded like.
But the whole Mahabharata, how can it happen unless we have all these demons as well?
Are you saying that he's like an eternal associate acting like a demon? Because we're all Krishna's devotees ultimately. But as far as like Arjuna, we can understand that he's always in Krishna's pastime, Duryodhana or Dhritarashtra.
Yes. What about Vidura? What about Dhritarashtra?
Speaking specifically, you mentioned Duryodhana.
Yeah. Everyone. Otherwise, where is Mahabharata? Where is Queen Kunti's prayers? How can it fit in this drama?
So there's only one person that can play the part of a demon, and that is Duryodhana, and he follows Krishna's pastimes. I'm just confused by it. That's all.
Yeah. Everyone. I mean, the whole Mahabharata, right? It's not one time. It's happening. I mean, Queen Kunti's prayers are happening. Where would Arjuna, who would he fight with? Right? How can Krishna speak the Bhagavad Gita if Arjuna is not delusioned? So think about that. And then if we search further, right, you will see Krishna takes, just like Lord Ramchandra's, today is the day when he comes back from the forest. That's why everybody is celebrating. But actually it's mentioned by the Goswamis that Lord Ramchandra comes in different colors sometimes. You know, we have such tiny brain that we are only familiar with, maybe these four Kali Yugas. I mean, sorry, four Yugas. This is how far we can go as far as the Satyuga. Maybe we hear the stories from Satyuga. Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, Vivaswan. So we may only have the history of this one Divya Yuga. Beyond that, apart from that, it's beyond our understanding, right? Just like I can give you the example, when the time is right, Krishna will actually send us information. Like, so many people don't even know. We are all under the impression that when Krishna is born, he's taken by Vasudev to Gokula. And then he exchanges Krishna with a baby girl, right? And if you look in the 10th canto, if it says, or also in other places, and we know it's a common knowledge now, that actually there were two Krishnas born, one to Mother Yasoda and one to Devaki simultaneously. And the story goes that Vasudev is not in his rasa to see Krishna in Vrindavan. He can only see Vasudev Krishna. I hope everybody is understanding what I'm saying. So Vasudev Krishna is acting out of Vrindavan. And Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, he never leaves Vrindavan. So what happens? So what happened was Vasudev carried Vasudev Krishna to Nanda Maharaj's house. And because he doesn't have that relationship, or he would not be allowed to even see Swayam Bhagavan Krishna because of his, rasa. His rasa is only with Vasudev Krishna. So this Vasudev Krishna, which he was carrying, he put him under the blanket where Mother Yasoda was sleeping. And Swayam Bhagavan Krishna was right there, but he was covered with the blanket, so Vasudev cannot see him. So he thought he'd just take the baby girl. So he did not see other Krishna, but as soon as he put Vasudev Krishna on the bed, that Vasudev Krishna merged into the body of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, and he took the baby girl. So this is how it happens, that if you don't have a rasa, you cannot come in front of that particular deity. So Vasudev Krishna would never see Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. He would only see Krishna. So, I mean, Vasudev Krishna, who is acting out of Vrindavan, only is Swayam Bhagavan. In other words, it's none different, yet simultaneously different and similar, right? So this is what I mean, that Lord Ramchandra also comes in different colors at different times. But we are so understanding that he's only green, always green. No, he comes in different colors, in different yugas. There is slight difference. Even sometimes there's a slight difference in the past times of how Sita was kidnapped. So this is all information when we ready, Krishna will send us to us, according to our sincerity, according to our desire,